potato.
Welcome to the Resam Worship Songwriting Podcast, episode 130. I'm Joel Payne.
I'm Sam Hargreaves.
And this is a podcast to equip and inspire grassroots songwriters serving their local church and beyond. In this episode, we'll be looking back on November's AI Songs Challenge, setting a new end-of-season challenge for December, and sharing some plans for 2025. Sam, you just yawned while I was doing that.
Sorry, mate.
It's all right.
A bit tired.
You've heard it a lot over the years.
Yeah.
We could freshen it up. Did you hear how we tried to freshen it up with the help of our virtual assistant last time?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
It was actually quite good. It had a bit of pizzazz.
Can we just have AI, can you just write into AI, record me a podcast about songwriting?
Yeah, you actually can.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, we'll get into that.
We can all go and have a sleep.
It's been a very AI-flavoured month, hasn't it?
Yeah.
What have you been up to, Sam?
Not a lot.
Right, well, you could ask me.
What have you been up to, John?
Well, we had our November concert tour. But since the last podcast, didn't we? Feels like a lot has happened in this month. But yeah, that was in November. So that was great. We went all the way to Old Meldrum, which is north of Aberdeen, home of Glengarry Whiskey. We tried to arrive in time for a distillery tour, but it was a little bit too tight. But then, fortunately, our host, or the host of one or two of us, gave us a distillery tour of Scotland when we went home that night. So it's even better.
Excellent.
Really good. Oh, amazing. So good to share these songs once again. I said this before. When we've done other tours, people have really appreciated what we do. But this time, it was a sort of real kind of sense of personal appreciation. The number of people who would come and tell us their stories and say, thank you for giving me some words that I can sing. I kept saying in the concerts that people, I'd say, within your congregation, there will be people that are hurting. And it's true, because every time in these concerts, the number of people who come and tell you, it's astonishing.
Yeah.
So we kind of need to, we know it, but we need to take notice of it, don't we? So I think we're going to try and do a few more in March.
Brilliant.
It's a good thing to take around. The band is pretty good now, so it should be good in March. It's been pretty good so far. It should be even better. So that's good. Sam, you and I have both been doing some fundraising in the recent times, haven't we?
Yes.
So for listeners who don't know, Sam and I don't actually work for the same organisation. Sam works for Engage Worship, which is a kind of working name of the Music and Worship Foundation.
Correct.
And I work for the Song and Hymn Writers Foundation, and people do occasionally get confused. By and large, they're separate organisations, but also Sam was there from the beginning of Resound Worship. A little like Wisdom was there from the beginning of creation. You are the wisdom of Resound Worship.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, Lady Wisdom.
Lady Wisdom, yeah.
You're Lady Wisdom of Resound Worship. And anyway, but they're both charitable organisations, and sometimes we have to do fundraising in order to try and make them work. Your reflections on being someone who is trying to raise funds and the sort of the emotional and journey and the rest of it.
Yeah, well, I don't think it comes naturally to either of us. I mean, I think some people are natural fundraisers, but it just feels awkward to me to ask for money. At the same time, you believe in what you're doing, and you know that people like to give as well. I like to give to the organisations that I support.
Yeah.
I think the thing that you and I are both trying to do at the moment is secure more consistent, regular giving.
Yeah.
And I think we're both being advised, and we're realising that when you do crowdfunding style projects, okay, you might get some money in for a particular project, but then that money gets spent and then you're on to the next year. So it's at the moment, I think for both us and for Schwerf and Resound, it's about trying to encourage people to consider, even if they're and I think that, I've seen your all your stats and your numbers, Joel, and I think both of us have this feeling that actually it's not necessarily about people giving a lot of money, but it could be about a lot of people giving a very small amount of money on a regular basis. And that's what could make the difference. And we know that we have, you know, hundreds of people in the 12 song challenge, hundreds of people, thousands of people using the songs.
Yeah.
And similar with Engage, we've got like thousands of people downloading our free resources, but it has to get, you know, fueled from somewhere. Yeah. And it is emotionally challenging to keep trusting God and believing. I think the thing God is sort of trying to speak to me is about believing that God is a God of abundance and that there is, you know, the finance out there and we just have to trust him to provide it.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I definitely share that thought about trying to move from project funding, crowdfunding, to consistent funding. And a part of the reason for that, if I'm really honest, is a little bit selfish, because so every time you do a fundraise, you kind of have to flog yourself to try and reach what you're trying to do. And I'd love to not have to do it every time we want to do something.
Exactly.
I'm kind of thinking at the moment, you know, in our crowdfunders, I think that the average person contributes about £30 to a crowdfunder if we do it. That's not everybody. Some people, it's a lot less, a lot more. But if all those people gave £3 a month instead...
Yeah,
we'd hit this. You know, it looks like big numbers on these fundraising targets, but it really is as simple as that. But there is this. Nobody has to give, obviously, but loads of people clearly will give.
Yeah,
if you sort of give the right impetus and the right invitation and the right reason. So it's trying to make that link, and it's trying. There's some sort of bridge, which is, I suppose I find if I just keep saying this enough times. Enough people say, oh, yeah, I could do that. And for some reason, for some people, you've got to say it 20 times. And for some people, you've got to say it once. And obviously, for some others, it's not. You don't all have to support everything. It's when you kind of think, but I know there are people who support this. And actually, if I really just went and asked each one, but I can't because it's just too emotionally exhausting, then, yeah. So I think that's part of it. So, yeah, we're doing a funder at the moment, and we've set this £100,000 for... 5 years, which interestingly is like the upside down version of the way that your charity presented it, but very similar idea. And so it looks like when we're recording this, we're at about 18% of that target, which is really cool. And it sounds like therefore we funded next year, but actually we haven't, because most of that is regular funding that's going to come over the 5 years because we're totaling up that way. So we're probably about a third of the way towards what we would need for next year for these particular projects. So, yeah, if you're listening, it might not seem like much, but it really helps. And the regular thing is just super kind as well as super generous. I think that, there you go. That's my message. Giving regularly is kind. Giving loads is generous. Do both. Hallelujah. Should we welcome Rebecca and Andrew? Hey, yay. Welcome to the pod.
Hi.
You've been listening to our conversation there. Any reflections? Anything you want to add? Rebecca, you've done crowdfunding, haven't you? I know, certainly.
Oh, it's horrible.
And it broke you, didn't it?
It did actually break me.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst things I've ever had to do.
Oh, bless you.
I hated it. I suppose I'm sitting here thinking, we pay for streaming services and all of that money goes to hosting what has already been created. It doesn't go to creating anything new. So why not give our money to something that creates something or supports those who create it rather than to shareholders' pockets?
Would be like my that. I like that.
2 pence. Mm.
12-song challenge.
Well, Rebecca and Andrew are here to help us talk about the 12-song challenge. It's going to be a very 12, well, they often are, but this is an especially 12-song centric podcast. We're coming towards the final month of the challenge. We've done 11 months. Our subscriber numbers on the challenge have hovered around 400 for the whole time. Not all 400 have really got heavily involved, but it's pretty exciting over 12 months. We've done all kinds of challenges. And I wanted to just tell people a little bit about some of the things that are coming up. So the first is, this is the last month, December. We're going to restart on the 1st of April. We get 3 months off. And I want to say this really clearly, it's 3 months off. There's no extra intra-challenge stapled onto the challenge, carry on the challenge stuff. You do what you like, but we're having 3 months off. Nothing to Elsong Challenge is happening except two things. One of which is, if you have completed the challenge, you will get your souvenir yearbook through the post. And that is, if to complete the challenge, you've got to do all 12 songs and you've got to comment on three people's songs each month. It is not very hard, apart from the writing the songs bit, just dipping in and commenting. You can go back and fill in the blanks if you want. A very handy little automated have I completed the challenge meter will appear on your 12 song profile before too long, so that you can check where you're up to and if you want to make good any of that. And then if you are in that blessed and sanctified group, you get to contribute a page to the yearbook. That page can be a song that you wrote this year. It can be a recipe for scones, can be a picture of you and your family on holiday. Frankly, it doesn't matter, does it? Because it's just a kind of way of saying, I mean, I think we're aiming for songs, but I kind of like it when people do something a little bit quirky in there. So that's what it's for. And then we put that into a nice book and actually gets posted out. And you get to keep that on your shelf as a special memento of this whole time. And part of the reasons why we might be a little less precious about it being songs this time is because also within the song club environment in which we live, very soon the online songbook will appear. And that is basically a collection of all the songs that people have done where they've said, where they get to the end and they say, I'm happy with this, it's finished, you can sing it if you want. And so that's going to be assembled and will kind of happen magically in technological ways into this online songbook. It's an internal thing, yeah. And there's several reasons for that, but I think one of the key ones is it's really important to us that the focus of this challenge is not getting your songs published. But within the community in which we exist, it's really relevant to share those songs with each other. So that's the kind of parameters we're going to work with. You know, we'll see. We'll see how that goes, because it's the first time we've done that. And then finally, so those are the... Are they the two things? No, the other thing that will happen in the intro challenge, absolutely nothing is happening period, is we'll have an end of challenge Zoom online concert. So check emails, social media and stuff. It actually works. It's amazing. It just depends how many people sign up. It'll be on a Saturday evening, early in January, just doing a poll to find out exactly when we can do it. And you just get an amount of time that you can use. And we go around everyone as much as we have to. And it really works. It's amazing. So that's good, isn't it? And then...
The last thing, Joel, that we need to tell people about is our idea for some End of Challenge live concerts. And the idea with this is you've written some songs. Maybe you've got a few other people around you who live near or who you're friends with. And we'd love you to put on what will probably be a very little informal concert. So I've got
one in real life, in actual
in IRL, not AI, not Zoom.
got it.
Not like puppets playing your songs, yeah. And it could be just you say to your home group, hey, next, you know, can I do a home group where I play some of my songs that I've written in the challenge? It could be that you do it for your church on a Friday night or an evening where people are free. Ideally, as I say, there's like one person in my church that's doing the challenge. So I think I'll team up with Stuart and maybe a few other people locally and just do a kind of informal opportunity to share some of the songs you've been writing. You can say to people, look, these are still, you know, a bit in progress, or this is one I started and I don't know if I'll ever finish it, but this is as far as I got. And really just to tell the story of your year.
Mm.
And your involvement, and play a few of the songs and share a little bit about what the challenge is. And I think, Joel, you're going to send them a PowerPoint or something so people have got something to show.
We'll give you
a
couple of things so that you can whack something on a screen, hopefully a little video that is a sort of, hey, this is the 12 song challenge and this is what I've been doing. So it gives some context to it.
We're thinking January to March, mm-hmm. So in this kind of interim phase where you're not writing a song before the next challenge starts, after Christmas, think of it as maybe a bit of a sort of, you know, get over those February blues with a nice little cozy concert.
What's that date in January? It's supposed to be the most miserable day of the year.
Yeah,
you could do it then.
It's like Blue Monday, isn't it?
Yeah.
you could do it then. Just cheer everyone up with a And I think my focus is going to be like, this is not going to be a polished. I mean, unless you're like, I was going to name names, but we know that there are certain people on Twitter who will do an amazingly polished, you know, extravaganza.
Yeah.
For me, this is going to be a very acoustic, you know, you're lucky if we've got a microphone, kind of very just like informal. We just like to share these songs with you, with my sort of church community.
Yeah.
But I think it could be fun. I think it'd be a good way of sharing about the challenge, but also, you know, giving you a chance to actually play some of these songs that you've been writing.
Yeah. I like this, partly because it terrifies me. And so I feel like I should try and do it. Because I get to the end of these challenges and I've written 12 songs. And whenever I look back through them, because I forget all the songs I write, whenever I look back through them, I always think, oh, I quite like that one. Oh, that one wasn't bad. I wish I'd finished it. And so I feel like that might be quite special to just have a moment to share them, even if that is the only moment for half of those songs. It's just a moment to share them and actually a bit of impetus to say, yeah, it's kind of short, isn't it? Can you finish it up? Can you actually get it somewhere? So I think that's, so I'd do a house concert probably, and I'd invite a bunch of people and I'd sing my songs to them. It sounds terrifying. Do you think, Rebecca, you look like you could handle this? No, Andrew, come on.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
I'm thinking, can you get into a local pub and do like a pub night? You know, when pubs are on there, not really putting in customers after a Christmas season.
Yeah.
They might have a room. It could be cozy.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That's a good idea.
Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Oh, maybe a pub.
Or a cafe.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Or an organic produce outlet.
Or a stadium.
I thought you were going to say stable, which I thought would have been
stable, yeah.
Right, so I'm going to just recap. We're going to restart on the 1st of April. There's a souvenir songbook for people who finish the challenge. There will be an online songbook to be able to share your songs with everybody else in our community. There'll be a Zoom concert in January where you finally get to see the faces of all these people whose names you've read and whose songs you've heard. And you can do your own end of challenge concert where all this stuff you've created, you just find some way of sharing it with some people. And that's really good.
And if people are planning to do that concert,
yeah,
should we start a thread on Song Club where we explain it as we have, and then people can just comment and say, yeah, I'm thinking of doing this. And maybe also it could be a bit of matchmaking. If you're in a particular area and you want to say, I'm going to do one in Luton, does anyone want to come and join?
Yeah.
Or I'm in, you know, Azerbaijan. Is anyone else in Azerbaijan that can meet up with me?
Yeah. Can I tell you the other thing I just remembered about when you're running a big fundraiser or a crowdfunder? Yeah. You kind of feel like you have to contribute to every other crowdfunder or fundraiser you see while it's going on. Costs a fortune. But I got to tell you, for the next week or so, I'm fair game. You just you send me your links because what can I do? 12 Soul Challenge. We're going to review November. And November was the AI Songs Challenge. Woo! A doozy, a beauty.
Aye.
It's actually sort of really good, and if I'm honest, really terrible at the same time. We're going to talk about that, but the first thing is I asked our lovely participants, just send me in any feedback. What are some of your reflections on the challenge? So what we've done is we've picked out some of those, and we're just going to read you one or two of them right now.
Yeah, I really appreciated what Fiona wrote. She says, I was interviewed about potential use of AI at my place of work this week, and I mentioned a quote along the lines of, I want AI to do the dishes and laundry so I have more time to write and create, not the other way around. The tools available to us now are certainly impressive and powerful, but it would be very sad if we let them replace human creativity.
Mm.
Yeah, well, Andy was really positive. He said, I've been amazed at what software can do, and I can see it being a real help in the future. Being more of a music person than a words person, I've found AI turning my miscellaneous thoughts into verse really helpful. It's given me a kickstart into a new song. I found the music creation astonishing and, again, very useful to get a new idea going.
Yeah. Irene said, AI responses were so thorough, they got in the way of my own creative process. I prefer to follow my curiosity in small increments. It didn't give me enough space to manoeuvre, too tailored for my liking. really like that. I prefer to follow my curiosity in small increments. Yeah, really interesting.
Mm.
Reasonably similar from Jonathan, talking about in his job within healthcare, how that some people are advocating for software that can transcribe a whole clinical consultation in order to, quote, cut out the background chatter so the doctor can focus on the important things. But his concern is that he's wary that instead of cutting out the background chatter, that's what he needs to tune into. Mm. And it's often the background chatter that he gains the most insight. So does AI stop us from engaging with some of that chaotic, noisy stuff where we might find the gold?
Mm.
Elizabeth writes, I already struggle enough with wanting to search out all the answers and quick fixes of life on the internet. Songwriting is one sacred space where I can still listen in the silence for God's voice and wrestle with him through the creative process and the struggles of my own heart. I feel AI can get in the way of that with its cultural trap of easy answers and instant solutions.
Cultural trap. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of similar. David says, I can't get away from the idea that using AI is somehow cheating. I can bypass the hard grind. I need know nothing of lyrics or music to form a song and has been illustrated a great song. But given that the 12 Song Challenge is based on encouraging collaboration and people's offering ideas, helping each other, the use of AI is fascinating. You could say that AI is doing just that, trawling a massive database of people's suggestions. The big question is, does it have a heart? And then I guess, does it have a heart that expresses what your heart is reaching for? That's where we have to tinker and nudge. The problem is that AI seems so effortless, even if rather soulless, which is very seductive.
Oh, yes. Ian sent two in. I think it's the same Ian. The first of which begins, the AI challenge is the most interesting songwriting experience I've had in ages. Goes on to say, it's been really interesting seeing how it works as a tool. But then he also sent another one saying, now that I've infected the ChatGPT gene pool with my maverick approach to songwriting, there must be a real risk that other songwriters who consult AI hoping to sound like Justin Bieber might in fact start to sound more like me. The people who tell you AI is a dangerous dancer partner might have a point. Please be careful, folks.
We could all do with a little bit more Edgson in our songs, though, couldn't we?
Yeah. Living on the Edgson.
Yeah. And from Susan, I found the challenge pretty interesting. I was already using AI to help with my lyrics by way of research as a thesaurus, a rhyming dictionary, to check grammar and syntax and so on. This month, I used it both to help write lyrics and music and was amazed at the result. Going forward, I think I could use it as a tool to help teach me to write better tunes so that I can put my lyrics to music.
Hmm. And then I just got to grab one more from Darren, who starts by saying what he loves about the 12 Song Challenge. By contrast, he says, AI takes away from this idea. AI can play better than me, sing better than me, compose better than me, and probably in half the time. So where's my encouragement to even try? I'd even go so far as to say, if we write from a personal experience we share with God that touches us deep down inside, and AI could possibly write a similar song, then why put ourselves out there in such a vulnerable way? Guess I'm just not a fan. So many really interesting reflections there. Mm. A lot of it to me seems to be around our kind of our value, how AI challenges our sense of value of ourselves or what we do. You know, several people saying it's better than me at a whole bunch of this stuff. So what am I for? It's quite challenging, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've heard a lot of comments around the fact that currently it doesn't seem very actually collaborative. So particularly if you're using something like Sumo, you seem to get basically a done song that you can't tinker with. You can't go in. I don't know whether, probably others will tell me, whether something like Logic or, you know, one of those DAWs can sort of suggest things via AI in the same way, like, you know, you have Drummer on Apple where the drummer sort of plays this thing and then you can go in and actually edit it. I don't know whether... I suppose that's probably where it's going. And I can see that being a bit more. So basically you maybe put in a chord progression and then it suggests an arrangement and then you can go in and actually then start to tinker. I think that would be more helpful than what we're currently getting musically, which is kind of, well, here it is.
Yeah.
And you can choose whether it's country or whether it's opera or whether it's folk, but you can't actually go in and use it as a basis of something yet.
Mm.
I found that with ChatGPT that they'd give me some suggestions and I would just say, give me something better.
Yeah. And it would always say, me... I'm sorry, here you go.
No, no. something better. Give me something else.
She says that to me when we write together too.
Do you know that?
Yeah, come on, Finden.
Maybe it's going to really influence all of our co-writing styles.
Well, I felt like I do a lot of co-writing. Yeah. I love co-writing. And I felt I treated ChatGPT as that. Like I'd have three lines and I'd say, give me a fourth. And yeah. I'd see it and it would, it's a bit mundane, but it sparked the ideas off and then it got the things rolling to find that. Or give me 10 rhymes for this word to try and find something to then get into the final line. So, I mean, I started this challenge thinking, I hate AI. I don't want to learn this. Mm. Where am I going to learn all this stuff? And wrote a very naughty, rude little song in protest. Just a 30-second one. Yeah. And then I listened to the podcast and felt convicted. And tried again. And realised that if I thought I wasn't engaging with AI, I'm kidding myself anyway. Because it's sort of everywhere anyway. So... rather than keep going to websites to look for thesaurus or rhyming dictionaries or something, I actually just did it all in one app and it was quite easy not to have to keep declining cookies and going through preferences every single time.
Yeah.
And to instead of just searching on the web for things, I search there because it's putting everything together. And then to use that as inspiration rather than give me a complete song and that's my song. Mm. But then,
I found... tweaking the prompt with ChatGPT really helps. Like the first thing it puts out is really generic, I found.
Yeah.
And kind of, I mean, it's predictable because that's what it's designed to be. It's a language prediction system.
Yeah.
And I found that when I put something in and then I asked it to, I wanted to write a song about idols for a thing we were doing. And it put out something quite generic and I said, well, okay, tell me about, you know, what are the kind of idols that contemporary Christians struggle with. And then it listed off a whole bunch of things. And then I said, well, okay, now try and put that in the song somehow. And that's when I found some kind of interesting formulations started coming out.
Yeah.
And kind of push it to be more specific and more concrete.
Yeah.
That's true. Cause it begins, but the very nature of it is it begins with generalizations because it's trying to give you the most likely answer, isn't it? Essentially. Right. And you're like, okay, yeah, go past that stuff. Go down a few rungs and then you might find something more interesting. You made a helpful comment on our little cheat here, Andrew, that you find it hard to give feedback on people's songs.
Yeah, initially I did because, I mean, we're so used to being really kind and generous and careful.
Yeah.
And, and then all, you know, at this point I'm like, well, hang on a second. Am I giving critique to a person or am I critiquing a machine? And, you know, So that my kind of the way I respond to what ChatGPT puts out is very different to my response to what another person puts out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so in the moment of leaving a comment, I wasn't sure, do I have to be careful here? Is this something that they wrote or is this something I can be really brutal with?
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know. And then there's a flip side to that, which is I found that because it is a text which effectively, you know, I didn't write, it allows that distance to be able to actually look at it a bit more objectively and go, okay, that bit feels a bit weird, or actually that rhyme is just there because it needed a rhyme. You can kind of see those things a bit easier than with your own work. And so that was a good learning experience to just learn what that feels like to analyze a text a bit more objectively.
I want to just pick something up that one of the people who wrote in said about this. I'm going to paraphrase, but effectively, a lot of the best writing comes out of personal experiences. Often comes out of pain. Often comes out of and so on. Why, if you actually don't need to have that experience to write this stuff, what's the point of experiencing it? I found that quite a really deep question. I've thought about it, I've sort of pondered it, and I thought the thing is that. The AI can only do that because people have written out of their pain or have written out of their joy. They can only do it because of what humanity creates. And therefore, it's always worth creating without the tool. But at the same time, that whole thing of the slight despondency or it's just, these are better lyrics than I can write. It's a better tune than I can write. I mean, that is a tough thing, isn't it? And we went to a Christmas tree festival at the Anglican church in our village over the weekend. And there was a guy there who had put up on display a load of painting by numbers that he'd done. And at one point he saw us looking at them, and we were looking at them kind of going, they look a bit like painting by numbers. I wonder if they are. And he came over and he said, oh, you've seen it. Oh, I've got to let you in on my secret. Is painting by numbers. He said, because I can't paint otherwise. So I just this made me feel like an artist. And that's similar to what some other people have said. It does some of the stuff that I just can't do. And so I feel like I get to play for a bit where maybe I wasn't able to before. Maybe that's a problem in our perceptions of what art is and other stuff. But you can see that sort of, that strength of, all right, let someone join in. That feels good in, at least to some extent.
I suppose, particularly like taking that painting by numbers example, he would have learnt so much by doing that exercise, what colours go together and how to get depth perception within a picture and all those kinds of things. Maybe he will learn from that and then he will be able to. Maybe it's a step on his journey to being able to create by himself.
Mm.
And the same with us. We can learn from this.
Yeah,
we can learn what works. We can learn from what really doesn't work, you know, just as much. Why things feel like they haven't got a heart, why things feel like they just like mundane. Actually, I don't want to do that. I've learned something. I've learned what I don't want to do. So it's just as important. Like, it's how we look at these things, isn't it? And this is why I feel like this has been a really important challenge for me, because I feel like my thinking has completely changed. I was totally against it.
Yeah.
It's stealing all of our creativity. And now I'm looking at it thinking, this is a tool.
Yeah.
And yes, I can put into it, but I can actually receive, I can learn a lot. I learn what I like and I learn what I don't like. I learn what works and I learn what doesn't work. It's releasing people who are lyricists and not melodists and aren't able to create music in the same way. It's releasing them into something else. So how are we going to use this? I mean, I'm no ethical expert on all of this, and that's a whole other question. But if we use it as a tool and not as an output of the expression itself, maybe that's two different things.
Yeah.
There's also that thing of sort of hacking it, isn't there? Because I think it's Mark Ronson did a series for Apple where he talked about different music technologies. And basically the thing that he noticed is generally these technologies come up and it's when someone uses it wrong that it actually gets good. So like initially distortion was something you didn't want.
Yeah.
And then suddenly someone went, hang on a minute, if we crank this up, this sounds really cool. Or auto-tune, again, is one of those things that people like rail against. But then someone found, oh, actually, when we use this wrong and actually make it sound like a robot, that's an effect in itself.
Yeah.
And this sort of keeps happening in the history of music that, or a drum machine was supposed to sound like a drummer and actually it didn't. It sounded like
it sounded like the sound of its own. Yeah, yeah.
And that
sounds like
Mark
Sam.
Yeah.
Do that again.
Yeah. No, I don't want people start sampling it, and you know, there's a whole, you know, copyright issue. But I just think that's interesting that quite often, you know, it's not necessarily when something is used the way that it was made. It's when people start to hack it or they start to go around. And so, yeah, it might be that this was made basically to make us lazy.
Yeah.
You know, and to make us go, oh, I can write a song in 5 minutes, which you can, but maybe it's when we use it in a more creative way and in a more thoughtful way, in a way that it was never intended for, that actually that's gonna provide the gold.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. My confession is that about sort of 3 days into the challenge, as I started to look at all the songs that have been posted, I thought, oh my goodness, what have you done? Oh no. Honestly, I felt like someone had ripped the soul out of 12 song challenge. I found it really hard. And I think it was partly because, you know, quite early on, what was happening quite early on, people were saying, no way, I said to Suno, write me a worship song, and this is what it gave me. And I thought, well, you can't just do that. That's all right. But also, I found with every... I will get back in and do it, but I've barely commented on a song because last month I did every song. This month, I'm like, I don't want to. I didn't like it.
It's your idea, Joel.
I know. I found it difficult. That thing of, you know, the first time you hear how one of these things can generate something or you read it, you're like, it's amazing. And then after four or five, you think, these all have the same flavour. It's like somehow they're all two-dimensional in a way. I can't even express it, but I can spot it now in all of them. And so, and then I think, you know, I've tried a little bit to think, like, come on, Joel, engage with it, you know, do something, get some ideas from it. And it's made me realise, I always claim I'm not an artist. I'm just like, oh, I'm not an art. I don't like all those artists. Goodness me. with their temperaments and all that. And I think I've realised I'm more of an artist than I like to pretend, because I sort of find myself thinking, well, I don't want your ideas, AI. I want to come up with my own. And actually found that really challenging. Having said that, I've started to use it for some other stuff, which is really helpful for. But I find the whole thing. So let's have a look. Yeah. Let's have a few examples of stuff that people have done. Andrew, you picked out a couple, didn't you?
Yeah, from Team Fisher, picked a song from Richard Clarkson, We Are the Church. And he used it for... he said his church has been working on a new vision, and so he was kind of using the points of the vision as a prompt, and asked it for rhyming couplets for those themes, and kind of just used it as a resource in that way.
Sure, a little listen. Yeah.
In every season of life, through every turn of the year, sharing and showing God's love, the church is here. Weeping with all those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice, everyone finding a place, a song, a voice. Big moments and on the small steps, we will journey with Jesus together. Every step on the way, helping each other along.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, good stuff.
Did you see how he threw in a little Andy Clark chord just there in the link? Oh, yeah, you got to keep Clark happy.
Nice.
Yeah, really nice. I like that whole landing on together. What a fantastic word to be the kind of the landing. It's the hook. And it's such an important word. And you can sing it like a pirate, which makes it even better.
Together.
I just thought we should give Chris Taylor some love, because he has a lot of kind of ethical and ecological kind of concerns about the whole sort of AI thing. But he really went for it.
Yeah.
And so he put some, you know, got some words generated by ChatGPT and then edited those himself. And then he got Suno to do the music. And then we, I think we all kind of then encouraged him, right, what if you kind of make this Chris rather than... So he then did a version himself where he, again, changed it and did it. And then, bless him, I think he's come full circle, because he's now... realize that if you use Suno, the free version, you then don't actually own the copyright to the song. So then he was like, oh, what's the point? Okay. But bless him, he's engaged. He's tried. Yeah.
Should we have a listen?
When the inner voice is loud, vain desires are shouting out, I think that I can do it all myself. After striving to the end, I find I'm at the start again. I know I need your wisdom and your help. Your wisdom is calling, your wisdom will guide us. Words like a friend who walked close beside us. Your ways are far higher, your love beyond measure. We'll trust in your goodness forever. In the stillness I can hear a gentle whisper drawing near. Speaks of love too vast to comprehend. In your mercy I find peace, your grace will bring my
nice.
Soul.
Nice,
Sam, yeah, just tell us, so in terms of what we heard there,
yeah,
how much is Chris? I mean, it sounds just like Chris, so I assume it is actually Chris.
Yeah, that is the AI version of Chris.
Really good.
It's good, yeah.
Well, you could play a bit of his opening one if you want.
Oh, okay, let's do it. Let's have a little listen.
The Suno one.
When the inner voice is loud and vain desires are shouting out, I think that I can do it all myself. After striving to the end, I find I'm at the start again. I know I need your wisdom and your help. Your wisdom is calling, your wisdom will guide us. Your words like a friend who walks close beside us.
So he's definitely improved it, I would say, melodically.
Wow. It is. He does say somewhere at the end of posting his second version, where is it? Please, let's never do this challenge again. It's messing with my head. I mean, I'm with him. I mean, it's so interesting, isn't it? Yeah, okay. So what's clear is that AI is really good at structure, because song structure, part of it is about patterns. You create patterns in your songs, and that is exactly what AI is doing. It's looking for patterns in all the music it can find, and then saying, "Well, there you go, I've got one that works for you." I feel like you said, Rebecca, that it ought to be a really useful learning tool. You ought to be able to say, "Okay, I chucked this in. What patterns has it put in here? What's repeated? What's different? How can I?" Yeah. And analyse it, and in doing so, you learn, don't you, by analysing yourself. I picked out a few. So John Mayer said he asked AI for some gaps in themes in mercy-oriented worship songs, and then it pulled out some thematic gaps that it said it could see, and it's like, okay, I'll work with those because I want to fill those gaps. That felt like Trevor Thorne. He often likes to write songs and hymns that connect science and faith. That's his real interest. So he said, give me four sciences most relevant to Christians. And actually found a couple of them, which were archaeology and then something else he hadn't expected. And he thought, oh, great. Well, that's really helpful. I'm going to go with that then. I'll work with it. Sarah Clark, I like what she said. She first of all said, tell me the components of a good worship song. So it did. And then she just fed them back in and said, okay, we'll write one then. And there is a thing, isn't there, where actually I found that at one point I was working on something else. Eventually it said, oh, I can give you a really good prompt if you want. Yeah, okay, thank you. And then I just put it back in to see what came out. And then Eunice Ibala asked it to take Psalm 88 and gave quite strict parameters for a paraphrase. To me, that felt like something AI probably can do quite well, because it's working with such strict content. You know, how could I find words that mean the same thing and fit them into this shape? It probably is pretty useful there without sucking all of the soul out of it.
I quite liked what Emma Billington did as well. She said that she asked, what's a neglected psalm?
Oh, nice.
And it said Psalm 147. And then she asked it to write six haiku verses from the psalm.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. It's really. She said she didn't actually keep any of the phrases, but it was a great starting point. And her song actually keeps the haiku form in the verses. It's really quite cool.
I feel like this has been a slightly more sort of somber, reflective kind of month of. So I think we might wrap that one up there and say really well done to everyone who has got stuck in it and had a go. And hey, let's see what difference this makes to us going forward. But it's a real thing. I'm glad we've engaged with it. I think it's really good for us to have our eyes open and, you know, see what's there, what helps, what doesn't. I've got to be honest, there's only one option for Star of the Month. It has to be ChatGPT.
Star, 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 star of the month.
Let's move on to the December Songs Challenge. The final challenge of the season. The 12 song challenge final. Technical challenge. We did the technical challenge. We're on to the showstopper. So the showstopper is, you could still win. You could still win. We're basing it all on this challenge. Commitment songs. Sam, tell the listeners what you said to me last week.
Yeah, we're just thinking about, you know, the new year coming up and, you know, not most of us probably not into trying to do New Year's resolutions, but there's often that sense of starting the year and maybe sort of wanting to say to God, okay, you know, this is what I want this year to be about. I want to commit myself to you. And then I think we thought then actually, you know, we've done sort of sending songs, I think, in the past, sort of end of the service, but this is maybe something just a 10, 20 minutes earlier than that, which is kind of, you know, maybe you've heard a talk or some sort of challenge, or, you know, you've got to that point in the service where you think, actually, you know, I want to respond to God about this. I want to, you know, tell God my commitment, or, you know, ask God to lead me, or whatever. So yeah, that's kind of where we're going.
Yeah. I was just thinking that instead of commitment songs, it could be let's do this songs. I quite like that. Yeah. That's an idea. Yeah. All right, let's do this. you mentioned, Rebecca, you could see the potential usefulness of this kind of after the preach song.
Yeah, I'm always looking for songs that we can do to cement what we've been talking about, so we don't just hear something and then forget about it. But okay, if this is what God's been saying to us, through the preach, let's take some moment to actually respond.
Yeah. And I guess there are two ways to approach that. One is to be quite generic and the other is to be quite specific. So you could say, I want to write something that's going to be often useful as a commitment song. Or you could say, well, I know what my church is going to be preaching about in the next few months, whether that's a sermon series or a lectionary, whatever it might be. Why don't I write something which we can use over several weeks to respond to what we've read in the scriptures, what we've spoken about? That could be really useful.
Yeah.
I mean, being really specific is a great way sometimes to get your songs in into the service, isn't it? Because you don't have to compete with the other generic ones. You go right in there. I was also thinking about you might like to pick out, you know, what specific things are there in scripture that we're actually called or instructed or told, exhorted to do. You pick one of those, maybe you build a whole song around that particular thing. So it kind of really starts in a particular scripture. That would be a way to do it. Or or you could look at some of the kind of covenant language that you get in the scriptures as well, which is kind of God's commitment to us and our commitment to him. What I would say with that is have a little hermeneutic elf on your shoulder saying, are you interpreting that? Are you treating that as if it's speaking to you, et cetera, et cetera? You know, try and understand it within its context. But there's beautiful language. And we, you know, there is a new covenant. You know, when Jesus talks in at the Last Supper, it's all, you know, there's this sense of a new covenant. And it's Jesus' blood that seals that covenant. But a covenant is an agreement on two sides of what you're bringing to it, which I think is good. What do you think about the idea that you're in a commitment song, whether you should go sort of really aspirational or really realistic about what you can actually, do you know what I mean? Sometimes we say things like, I surrender all, I give you my whole, and we can't really do that. What do you think? Help me, the relative merits of those.
I think they can become too me focused. And I think sometimes the things that are promised by the singer are more things that I think we ought to be saying of God. So, you know, I will never stop singing. I will never stop loving you. I will never stop serving you. And blatantly, I am going to stop, you know, that afternoon.
Just in about 12 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I think those ones that I tend to sort of shy away from, but I still think there is a place to say, God, I want to, or God, will you help me? Or I've heard this call and, you know, yeah. I'm determining that it's my, you know, that I think there's some good stuff in John Mark Homer's Practicing the Way, where he talks about the importance of actually kind of walking out our faith. And, it, you know, there is choices, there is like, yes, we're absolutely 100% saved by grace, but having been saved by grace, you know, there are then decisions every day that yeah. we take, whether we're going to follow Jesus' way or whether we're not going to. And so having a song that kind of intentionally says, I want to, but I think having some humility in that about,
yeah,
you know, whether I will do that or not, that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a balance there, like most things. And I mean, I've certainly been in conversations about lyrics in the past where, you know, someone will have said, you know, it'll be a lyric like, you know, you're the only one I live for or something. And they're like, well, it should be you're the only one I should live for. Like we just try and kind of, we kind of contain it a little bit. And I think there is room for us to be like, I'm going to say this even though I'm going to fail, but that's where I want to be. And that's, yeah. that's, you know.
Yeah. There's some strength in the word will, isn't there? I think when you say I will, it means it's a verb. You know, I this is my will. This is, you know, as far as it is my will, this is what is going to happen. Yeah. Even though there's other stuff going to come into play. This is the thing I'm choosing right now, or that sort of language.
There's a real opportunity for vulnerability here. I think sometimes when we sing in these songs, I would invite people to sing them in one of two ways. There might be people in the room who would think, yes, this is 100% where I'm at. It's as though these words were written from my heart to God's and that's how I'm singing it. And then there are others who will use it as a lyrical prayer of, do you know what? I'm really maybe not feeling this right now, but this is how I want my heart to be. And this is where I want things to go. Mm. So we can use these songs in different ways. So I think if I would always sway way more towards the, oh, this is what I'm going to do. And this is my heart. And this is what I'm pouring out to you. I may fail in this. That's my humanity. But my heart is this, my desire is this. And in this moment, I'm realigning that with right. And I'm recommitting that. And yeah, I expect I will fail, but that's not what I want.
Yeah.
And that's not what I'm aiming for.
Yeah.
That's the reality of my humanity. But in this moment, I'm declaring this. And I love the songs like, we bow down and confess you are Lord in this place. You are all I need because we're recognizing that even if we don't live like that, it's your face I seek, those kinds of ones, or I need you, Lord, I need you. And recognizing our need and our humility within that rather than you, I'm going to give you everything.
Yeah.
Lord, I need you.
There's a kind of, there's a pastoral thing as well, isn't there, where you've got to just be a little careful that the words you put on the screen don't end up sort of belittling people's discipleship because they're like a photoshopped version of faith. And I suppose that's just the thing. You want them to be aspirational. You want them to be good, but you don't want to impose a, you don't want everyone in the congregation thinking, am I the only one who can't, who doesn't actually dedicate every word I utter to the Lord and ask socks to wear in the morning and whatever else it might be. And so that's where this, it's just, you know, maybe stepping back and saying, what am I actually demanding of people? Is this even something that God is demanding of people? Have I added this flavour to what I think committed Christianity might look like?
Yeah.
I think probably corporate commitment is another thing that's good as well. Not always having to put it in personal language. We can do it in we language. We commit in the way we do it. I also thought sometimes you can do it in the form of a prayer. So it can be sort of, as I journey through this life, may my words be for your praise, may my lips be full of, it's your way of saying, this is what I want. It's almost like, this is where I'm aiming. It becomes an aiming song as much as a commitment song.
Yeah.
But God is in the picture. I think that's really important. Just with any of these songs as well, as you write it, look at it and say, is God in this song or is it just me? Because that's probably a check, isn't it?
Mm. Mm. And I think also there's that formation aspect of the song. So it's not just about what we're singing in the moment on a Sunday morning or whenever, but like that as we're singing these songs and they get embedded into our hearts and our minds, like that actually starts to change us and change our emotions and change our desires. Nice. And so that formation aspect of it is really important.
Yeah. And there are loads of biblical characters that at some point take a choice to commit to God, to follow God and so on. And so you could just dig into one of those characters, one of those stories. I often quite like to try and sort of inhabit the character and write the song that they would write that the rest of us can join in, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you, that kind of gives you something to work with. Or you could write a song of commitment to join the next season of the 12 Song Challenge and then bring five songwriters with you. And you could write it aspirationally and no one will judge you if you don't. Well, those are my best ideas. Should we have a go? Should we do this?
Do it.
Is that a commitment?
It is.
Let's do this. Let's do the Let's Do This songs. That is all we've got time for this month. And wow, that's the last challenge, the 12 song challenge. The next episode of the podcast will be a little bit later next year because we're going to do a sort of wrap up after Christmas, try and gather a bunch of the team leaders and reflect on all that has been going on. But until then, have fun writing commitment songs. We've got some fun plans for next season as well, about kind of running a skills track alongside the thematic track and stuff as well, which we'll talk to you some more about. But until then, we're going to finish with a featured song. And I've actually picked out one which is, it's actually our most popular song in the US, it turns out, and almost exclusively because people sing it in January, which I think is because it's a kind of commitment song. So this is, it's from a few years back, but it's Jesus, You Have Called Us, I Will Follow. Until next time, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Jesus, You have called us. Come, follow Me. Take up your cross, deny yourself.